Well, this morning, I'm going to be speaking on the formula for faith, the formula for faith. And let me dismiss the children to Children's Church. That was the last thing Barb said to me before I walked up here, so that shows you where I'm at, right? The formula for faith. Dave Langton was an experienced wilderness guide in Texas. And his assignment this particular week was to lead a high school youth group on a rock climbing and cave exploration adventure. And this particular week, he decided to take along his six-year-old daughter. So the first day they went rock climbing, relatively easy situations and stuff like that, had a tremendous time. His daughter just loved it. But the second day, they were going to do their first day of cave exploration. And Dave was going to lead the group, and the group would only have one flashlight. And his daughter would be right behind him, his six-year-old daughter, Kelly Jo. As they began to enter the cave, of course, there was still light from the entrance, and the group moved rather rapidly through the first part of the cave, but as they progressed deeper and deeper, the darkness began to thicken. And it finally got to the point where they needed to communicate, the person in front needed to communicate with the person right behind them exactly where they were, because darkness had engulfed them. And as they were moving along very slowly, all of a sudden, Kelly Jo screamed out, "Daddy, where are you?" And her scream was probably what everybody else in the group was kind of feeling at that time. And David Langton, her dad right in front of her, says, "Kelly, I'm right in front of you leading the way." And when he said that, she calmed right down, and the entire group probably needed to hear that. And so when we think about the formula for faith today, faith and what it is, if you have your Bibles, the definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11, the very first verse, okay? If you want to look at that, it's a great verse to have underlined. It's a great verse to think about and meditate on and deal with that truth, because it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. And sometimes faith is not seen, and faith is not heard. So it can be a very uncertain time. But with Christ our Savior, He is certain of all those things. And you have a bulletin today. On the back of your bulletin, it says at the top, the formula for faith. I'm going to give you three words to write in there, one, two, and three. Three words that are steps in the process for the formula of faith. The first one is believe, if you're taking notes. The second one is receive. And the third one is become. So believe, receive, and become, the formula for faith. Now, our scripture passage that Pastor Rex asked me to speak on today, it follows in Romans, is in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. And I've asked three of our high school girls, Morgan Long, KJ Freestead, and Maggie Scott, to come read the scripture for us this morning.
Romans 4, 13 through 25. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all of us.
17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, he gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told. so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God.
21. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us whom believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
Thank you, girls. So in this particular passage, we have the focus is on Abraham and God's promise to Abraham in the Old Testament, which began in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses. And in those three verses, if you want to turn there, you can look at them, but God made it very clear to Abraham these things. He said, leave your people, leave your country, and go to another land. And then in Genesis 12, 4, it says, Abraham, now at 75 years old, got up, took Sarah, his wife, Lot, all their possessions, and departed for another land. And for a while, they wandered, and they came up against some unusual circumstances, battling nomadic kings and things like that. And Abraham wasn't always perfect in these situations. He kind of compromised some things, saying at one time that his wife was really his sister, so the nomadic kings in the area wouldn't take her and kill her because she was very beautiful and a prized possession. And after a while of wandering, one particular night in Genesis chapter 15, the first couple verses there, God appeared to Abraham in a vision. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you great and famous. You are going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham said, wait a minute. I don't even have a son. And who's going to be my heir, he said in Genesis 15. Is it going to be Eliezer, my servant? And God said, no. He said, Abraham, you are going to have a son. And Sarah is going to bear that son for you. And he says, not only that, he says, I will continue to bless you. In fact, Abraham, he said, get up and get out of the tent and go outside and look up into the night sky. And he said, Abraham, you see all those stars up there? Go ahead and count them if you can. Because if you can, that's going to be the number of your descendants. And the entire world, Abraham, is going to be blessed through you. Now, I wonder what it would have been like if God had said something like that to us. I mean, that's an incredible promise that God is throwing out there, and Abraham has already obeyed and gone, and he's headed to a land. I'm not sure he really knew where he was going, but he was headed for the promised land, and God was guiding him, the land of Canaan. And then God told him all these things, and verse 6 of Genesis 15, if you're there, says this. It says, and Abraham believed God. He believed. That's the first step in the formula of faith. He believed God, and at that moment, God counted it to him as righteousness. And that's an incredible thing, to be made righteous with God, isn't it? I mean, that's what happens to us today when we accept the Lord as our Savior. He makes us right with him. And we can forever be with him. So I was thinking about Abraham's life. You know, a lot of things happened during it. But he received God's promises by faith, it says. He trusted in God's word. He obeyed it. He lived it out by life actions. And secondly, God's promises to Abraham, you know, they weren't easy. They were hard to believe. I mean, think about Abraham for a minute. He was old. He was childless. I mean, he was a nomad. He was a wanderer. I mean, he had no land, and yet God was promising him all these things. How would all this happen? But Abraham had the faith, believing that it would happen. Even though he couldn't see it, he probably couldn't even, what? Understand it. We know his wife couldn't because what? She tried to get the handmaid to be, what, Abraham's wife and bear him a son, right? But then at 100 years of age, God did the unthinkable, you know? And they had a son named Isaac. So Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteous. And in the decisive moments of his life, he listened to God and obeyed. And it came to the point where he was willing to sacrifice anything, wasn't he? He was willing to sacrifice his heir, Isaac, his own son, because God told him to do that. That's incredible faith. I believe God was Abraham's goal, and that Abraham was beginning to have inside him the very nature of God. God was what he was striving for in life, so what God said, that was what Abraham did. And you know, when I think about myself, you know, and maybe you, when we are faced with those things, what comes into our mind when God maybe is directing us? So, well, we think of our common sense, our logical conclusions. How could we do this? You know, what seems to be the best thing to do here? You know? But Abraham set aside all those things. And the scriptures say, in strong hope, he believed in God. In fact, it says his faith grew even stronger because of all these things. And so I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. And I want to share some thoughts out of there. Chapter 11. We read verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Abraham couldn't see the future. He had to go on what God said. And he did. And then if we jump down to verse 8, all right? Are you with me? Verse 8. It says, "By faith, when Abraham called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents and did it, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with the foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Verse 11, "By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore." And then dropping down to verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.'" In verse 19, "Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." So the formula of faith: believe, receive, and then Abraham was becoming. He was growing stronger and stronger in his faith in the Lord Jesus. And as I thought about this passage, I'm asking myself, how does this apply today in 2018? The faith that Abraham had. You know, how's that apply to my life as a Christian and to your lives as Christians? You know something? God has not changed. He has not changed one iota since that day he made those promises to Abraham and fulfilled them to him. And so he calls on us to believe. And if you have your bulletin on the back there, I'm going to give you some verses. Some we may read, some I might share. But But jot down these verses. These are verses that we should know and have in our hearts, have in our minds, be able to recall them as we live our life of faith and share them with others. Believe. There's a couple simple phrases to write down there. Sin or sins separate you and everyone else from God. There are no exceptions to that. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, what? All of sin falls short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There are no exceptions, okay? Romans 5:12 says, what? For by one man, what entered into the world? Sin and death through sin. So death passed upon all men, no exceptions. The reality in life today is every human being needs a Savior. You do, I do, all humanity needs a Savior. 1 Peter 3:18 is a great verse in your Bible. Let's turn there and look at that one, okay? 1 Peter 3:18. First Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. So the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. Jesus is a Savior. You need Jesus. Humanity needs Jesus to get to God. There is no other way. Other verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says what? For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Okay? God made Jesus that, so you and I could be righteous. Another verse was Acts 4:12. There's salvation in no other name under heaven than Jesus. No other name under heaven than Jesus. And then I think about the Philippian jailer. You remember that story in Acts where Peter was in prison, those guys, and the Philippian jailer, there was an earthquake, God opened the doors, they didn't leave the jail, and the Philippian jailer was about to take his own life because he knew that the authorities would probably do that because he would let them escape. They didn't escape. They didn't want to escape. And it turned out that they said to him, the jailer said, what am I going to do? And they said that first step of faith, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippian jailer, and you will be saved. And that night he did that. Well, the second step is receive on your handout there. And just a couple phrases to think about here. I've been thinking about this from receiving faith. You know, the world religions and religious people are kind of basing their entrance into heaven on the do plan, right? They got to do something. They've got to live right. They've got to help other people. They've got to fulfill some church ceremonies. They've got to help the poor. It's the do plan. It's the only way they're going to get to heaven. Christianity is totally different. Christianity is based on the done plan. The done plan. Jesus did it. And here comes the hard part. Man has to receive it freely. Man has to receive it freely. It's a gift. You cannot earn it. There is no possible way to earn it. And that's a message that we need to communicate to the world today we live in. They need a Savior, and they need to acknowledge that they're sinful, and they need to receive it freely, God's gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is a reference to write down there. Titus 3:5 is another reference. Of course, John 3:16. There are a lot of verses in the Bible that say Jesus paid it all. One of my favorites is 1 Peter 2:24. It says, Jesus, who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we should live unto righteousness. Jesus paid that, you know, so that I could live. There's no other way for me to live. And then Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I don't know. Probably most of us could say that, you know. For by what? Grace, you are saved, not of yourselves, right? Exclude yourself, but not of, it is a gift of God, not of works, nothing you can do, lest any man should boast. So the world today is off track in thinking that they can have the do plan to get to heaven, you know, and that's where man's mindset is. You know, I'm better than you, or I'm better than that guy, or I certainly didn't commit that great tragedy, and besides, look what I did do. And that's just not going to cut it as far as getting to heaven. Jesus did it. We have to accept it freely. But then we come to the third step of the formula of faith, and it's become. Become. Here's a verse. I want you to turn here and look at it. It's John chapter 1, verse 12, and I'll read it. You know, we were talking about this the other day in youth group a little bit. There's different versions out there, right? And when you start learning God's word and stuff like that, or even reading it in a group, sometimes it becomes difficult because versions are different. But what is important is that we get God's word into our life through what version you feel is important to you. John 1:12 says this, "Yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed," here's our word, "believed in his name," received and believed in his name, "Jesus gave the right to become children of God." Christ in you, the hope of glory, the idea of becoming, the idea of beginning a life-changing journey with Jesus. We should be on a journey. We should be going somewhere with Jesus in our life. Not just saved, which is fantastic, but our faith should be deepening. It should be growing and developing. A few years ago, I read this book. It was called A Case for Christ. It was written by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was actually the legal editor for the Chicago Tribune newspaper. He was an amazing investigative reporter. He was educated at Yale. He had a law degree. He was at the top of the ladder when it came to investigating certain situations. But here's how he described himself personally. He said he was an atheist. He was profane, drunken, self-absorbed. He lived an immoral lifestyle. He backstabbed his colleagues. He violated legal and ethical standards to get his story. He did whatever he had to be known and to achieve acclaim. He summed up his existence in three words. He said, "I was a liar, I was a cheater, and I was a deceiver to the people I worked with and to my family." But there came a point in Lee Strobel's life where, because of his background in law and investigative reporting, he decided to investigate Jesus. And he began a mission to see whether or not the facts added up about Jesus, whether or not the explanation fit the totality of evidence about Jesus. And he began a 2-year, maybe a little longer, journey of pursuing all the evidence, archaeological evidence. He talked to people who claimed to know Jesus, and I think probably his pursuit was to find out that it wasn't real. But at the end of a little over 2 years, Lee Strobel believed. And he had no trouble believing, he said, because he knew what a sinner he was. It was a little harder to receive because, you know, he wanted to kind of do something, but then he realized that it had already been done for him by the Lord Jesus. So he accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, and he began his journey. He started becoming. And about 4 months after, he was saved. On this journey of becoming, one particular day, his five-year-old daughter went up to Lee Strobel's wife and said, "Mommy, I want God to do for me what he did for Daddy." And when his wife shared that with Lee Strobel, he knew he was on the right track in life. And since then, he's written some incredible works. The Case for Christ, The Case for the Creator, The Case for Faith. These are all excellent books to get to read and to interact with. But where does that leave us today? It leaves us with, I think, a couple things. I mean, have you believed? Only you know that. Have you believed in the risen, living Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is alive today? God has not changed. Sin has not changed. There are no requirements. You can't do anything. And neither can your family members or the community members that we interact with every day of the week. They need to freely accept what God offers to them. And then, maybe for a lot of us in here, for myself, are we becoming? Are we constantly becoming? Are we on that journey with Jesus? Is he a part of our daily life? Do we have a heart for the lost that are out there? Are we in prayer with him about the circumstances of our life? My thought in closing today is, let your faith deepen. Let your faith deepen. Find ways to do that. Maybe it's a community group. Maybe it's a personal devotional book. Maybe it's a radio broadcast every day. But find something in our lives that can deepen it daily. Maybe it's WBGL. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's a book you can listen to on tape or the Bible or something like that. Maybe it's saying, you know what? I'm going to learn a couple of Bible verses, and I'm going to commit them to memory. Or, you know, I know a family member and a member in the community who's not saved. I'm going to start praying for that person, praying that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Look how God honored Abraham's faith. Wow. God has not changed. He's looking for that faith in you and me today, and he will honor that. And you can believe, receive, and continually become. Because as I started that story about the cave and the darkness, there's going to be times in your lives when you're going to find yourself in life's caves. And darkness is going to come around you, and you won't be able to see or maybe understand. But you can hear that voice saying, "I am with you. I am with you. Yes, it's dark. I will be with you. I will lead you. And you will be victorious through me." That's who Jesus is. And he wants to do that in our lives every day. So I'm thankful Pastor Rex asked me to speak this morning. And I pray for him at his conference. I want to say to everybody, have a great Thanksgiving with your families. The service is, I believe, Wednesday night at 7 here, Thanksgiving service. So I'll close in a word of prayer, and we'll have our final song. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a God who never changes, being the same yesterday, today, and forever. You led Abraham through amazing things, things he never thought were possible, God. But because of his faith, you not only made him righteous, Lord, but you grew his faith to the point where all descendants of the world would be blessed through him. In fact, us today. And because we know the God who is able to raise those from the dead. What an incredible blessing in our lives to have. Just want to pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who needs you as Savior, that you will knock at their heart's door, that they will respond to that. And then for those of us who know you, that we will continue to walk with you by faith, that we might know you more, Lord, and become more like you and live for you today in the world you've placed us in. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.